Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Not sure we needed to relive that.
But you said it was an Always Sunny in Philadelphia nod.
That's what got me tripped up. Because there are cheating scandals in poker and chess using buzzers, but the Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode took it a step further to what I had referenced there. By the way, great show.
Does. I love Dennis Reynolds.
It's just incredible. Is he your favorite character on the show?
Yes, yes. My favorite TikTok like rabbit hole is just best of Dennis Reynolds, and it's just amazing.
The Dennis system.
I'm untethered when my rage knows no bounds. Oh,
man. Randy Scott, Joe Fortenbaugh, Carlin versus Joe, presented by Progressive Insurance. Welcome to ESPN Radio. Little breaking news to the people.
Carlin versus Joe. Breaking news.
From, and this is the serious breaking news, by the way, Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN NBA reporter, Golden State's Draymond Green, who has been on an indefinite league suspension since December 13th, expected to return to the Warriors facility in the coming days to start ramping up to resume play again, according to sources. Green is going to miss his 11th game tonight. Warriors are hosting the Nuggets. Big matchup there. Nuggets laying about 2.5 on the road, rested in that game. Conversation still ongoing about when he will return from the suspension, according to sources. His return getting much closer, though. So to take you through it, in the next few days, he will return to the facility. Mm-hmm. They will ramp him up a little bit, see where everybody's at, and then eventually have a conversation about when he's going to return to action.
You said he's going to miss his 10th game tonight?
I think it's the 11th game tonight. Was it number 11
11th
tonight?
Game tonight?
11th
so
total on the season or 11th since he's been away from the team? Because he also had the 5-game suspension at the earlier in the season, okay. Which we can't forget.
So of this most recent stretch, because the incident was in Phoenix
yes.
on the 12th, so then he missed starting December 14th. Okay, so they're 6-4 without him. Okay, it's not as though they've caught fire without him.
On this stretch. Because there was the other suspension.
Since the most recent suspension.
A lot going on with him.
Is he the Harbaugh of the NBA, or is Harbaugh the Draymond of the of college football?
Both Michigan guys.
Spartan. Okay, so.
Michigan State, though. State of Michigan is what I was getting at. State of Michigan.
Mitten State is what we're saying. So it's not as though this team has caught fire. It's not as though this team has even looked all that more functional. Much more functional offensively without him. He's their, he calls himself their heartbeat. And Steph does nothing to dissuade us from believing that he's anything less than that, that Draymond is anything less than that. Like, I think they're better with him. I think he has shown very little ability to adapt or learn from or change or whatever from his previous behavior, because so much of what has made him into a 9-figure contract guy is playing on the edge. He's just fallen off that edge, the wrong side of it, so much recently.
You hope whatever it is, it's been figured out in a positive way. Just it seems as if everyone's alluding to the fact that something's going on in his personal life that may be contributing to the behavior. And then as a result, take some time away, figure that stuff out, come back, and we'll take it from there. Hopefully, you know, that time away has done good for everybody involved in everything, because you would like to see him resume. The playoffs, I think, are a lot better when you have the Warriors around. You don't have to like the Warriors, but you want to see Steph Curry in the playoffs. That's the whole point of this thing. Get the superstars into the biggest, most meaningful games and then watch them cook. That's what was so awesome about that Kings series last year. Steph going for a 50 burger in game 7 to let Sacramento know, hey, little brother, you're getting better and you're growing up, but you're not there yet. Enjoy your off season. Like, they're going to need him if they're going to do any of that. And, you know, you hope it's figured out, but who knows? Carlin versus Joe, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get a business insurance quote online in as little as 6 minutes. Visit progressivecommercial.com. Randy Scott, help me out with something. A couple weeks ago, not even, we watched the Baltimore Ravens go to San Francisco and annihilate the Niners on their home turf. They then came back on short rest because that game was on a Monday, and they annihilated, speaking of 50 burgers, the Miami Dolphins. And yet, the San Francisco 49ers are the favorite to win the Super Bowl. It's close.
Still?
Yeah. Niners are still your favorite. Plus 225. Ravens plus 325. And I'm wondering, when you look at the two, both have already locked up the one seed. More flawed between the two teams? Because we kicked this around this morning before we brought you into the mix. You were very busy. And we actually, I thought it was going to be unanimous, and it was not. When we pitched the idea, like, which of the two is more flawed? I thought everyone was going to say the same thing, and it wasn't even close. Who do you think is more flawed?
Oh, that's such a, it's such a negative way of looking at it, and I love it.
Yeah, it's
I love it.
Video,
it's not.
Baby.
It's well. It's not.
Who's
it's
better?
Not,
no, no,
it's
no,
not
no,
who's
no,
better?
No.
It's like who's worse?
Who is going to flame out, and we're going to talk about them for weeks?
I don't. I'm not of the mindset that the Ravens broke the Niners. I'm not. I think it's a heck of a win. I think if you look at, and it's not college football, but if you apply a college football lens to the Ravens, they have the most impressive resume of anybody in all 32 teams.
Let's very not, impressive.
Yeah, break it down.
In a very difficult division.
Well, in this win streak of theirs, they've beaten teams that are playoff teams, save for the Bengals. Bengals still in the discussion, I guess. But, I mean, it starts with Cincinnati and it ends with Miami. These are impressive wins, and a couple of them coming coming on the road. So I don't want to say the Ravens. I don't want to say the Niners, but I, man, it,
look at
Baltimore.
You.
Is it Baltimore?
Look at you.
I think it's Baltimore. I think it's Baltimore because I don't know that Baltimore is this good offensively.
Mm.
I think defensively they're consistent. I think they're maddening. I think they're a great matchup for what San Francisco tries to do offensively. But I think eventually the bill that comes due with losing Mark Andrews and losing Mitchell out of the backfield, and you know, obviously, Dobbins before him, but you know what I mean? Like they are so thin at the running back position, and so much of what they do is set up by the ground game. I don't know that they are, I don't even want to say they're deficient offensively because they're fine, but they're worse offensively than San Francisco is, and I would argue their defenses are similar. So yeah, that's my answer. Sorry, Baltimore. Baltimore's worse, but what
Baltimore's
a, what
got a, some yeah.
Wow,
I can
man.
See that. Well,
what's your answer?
So then I want to clarify one thing first. Niners are plus 225 to win the Super Bowl. Ravens plus 325. It's very close. Some might be thinking, you know, if the Ravens just annihilated them and then beat Miami, like why would the Niners be the favorite? It's because the Niners have the perceived easier path. The NFC not as daunting for them to get through as perhaps what Baltimore will have to go through in the AFC. That's one reason to factor that in. So it's not necessarily a knock on the Ravens. It's just the system as a whole when trying to compute percentages and likelihoods and outcomes and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Baltimore because the thing with me and the Ravens has always been this. I've always equated them to the 76ers. You can put together tremendous regular seasons. You can win MVP awards. You can put up flashy stats.
Yeah.
Everyone can love you. And then you go to the playoffs and you wash out well before you should. Lamar's 1-3 in the postseason, remember. Now, Ian pointed out yesterday, we can't put that all on him. It's on everybody. But at some point, if you're a guy who right now he's minus 10,000 to win the MVP, which basically tells you it's been decided.
Wow.
If he goes out and wins his second MVP award, this talk of like, is he already a Hall of Famer has started. You can't be 1-3 in the playoffs. Like at some point,
yeah.
I'm not saying you need five Super Bowls, but at some point you got to make a little bit of a run here.
Got to play in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, we got to see you get to the AFC Championship game. And if that happens, it's like, all right, it's he can win in the playoffs. He's fine. It just took a little while. But you go out there and you host in the divisional round and you guys stumble and you get caught because there's a turnover here and a bad call there. And all of a sudden you're out. At some point, like, we're going to start asking those questions because it's one thing to be built to run through the regular season. It's different to be built to win in the playoffs. You see it in every single sport, especially baseball. It's never about the best team in baseball. It's about the hottest team in baseball. The problem with the Niners is that if they're not blowing you out, it seems like they have no idea what the hell to do. Have you ever noticed that with them? Like, they can hammer teams into oblivion, but when they find themselves trailing, they're totally off schedule. They have no idea how to operate. They now have to lean on a quarterback who the defense knows is going to throw the ball. So as a result, they can sit back in coverages and they can make that quarterback look ordinary.
Right. And I don't know that the list is very long of quarterbacks who can succeed in those circumstances. I feel like Josh Allen is one. I think Joe Burrow is one. I don't even think Lamar is one of those quarterbacks necessarily either. I think both of these teams rely on balance. They rely on the ground game, as we've said, to set up what they try to do and give you something to worry about and something to respect as a defense to try to set up what they do through the air. Here's what, thank you for asking, here's what the NFL. It was not like Dennis Reynolds. And it was there a war going on? But here's what the NFL has to do with tennis right now, specifically as it pertains to the AFC. So Lamar is, and I'm using this Djokovic and Nadal and Federer logjam. Who's the Andy Murray? Like, who's the guy who in a different era would have been the guy but came up at the wrong time? And to me, is it Lamar? Is it maybe it's Justin Herbert? So then, which one is Lamar? Say it again, Evan. No, okay. So
it's a joke. He's got some funny.
No,
thing.
No,
go
no.
ahead, say it. I'd like to hear.
Throw it out there.
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson's.
What era?
I mean,
what era do things work out for that guy?
Yeah, that's fair. Wooden rackets, maybe. I don't know. But so Lamar is Lamar fed? Does he eventually get 20 you know titles? Is he Djokovic? Does he break the all time titles record? Is he Nadal, who's only good on one surface, which would be like what? Not only good at one surface, but you know what I mean?
You say
like,
that around Brad
I
Gilbert,
think there's something
and those
there.
Are fighting words.
I think there's something
he's really
there.
He's only good on the one surface.
Because right now, Lamar's not even Andy Murray, because he's never won a title. He's never even been in an AFC championship
That's
game.
Why I think the Niner-Raven conversation is so compelling, because Shanahan, like, if not now, when? Dude, yeah. If not now, when? I understand what happened at Atlanta, New England. People put it on you. It's not all on you. But like that... He abandoned running the ball late against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, blew that one. He's got to close it out at some point. His team is loaded. Like, if not now, when? Same thing, yeah, that'll get you. Same thing with Lamar. Like, if not now, when, man? Like, this is the year to at least make a run.
But there's still an excuse. There's still an excuse. His number one receiving option, his blanket, his security blanket, Mark Andrews, is out for the season. Their best, most explosive running back, out for the season. Like, there are still excuses there. I don't see excuses for Brock Purdy. But the cupboard is stocked.
Got everything you need.
Cupboard is stocked.
How many quarterbacks, speaking of Purdy and Lamar, are playing their final game with their current team on Sunday? I think the answer could surprise some people. He's Randy Scott. I'm Joe Fornball. That's next. Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
On Carlin versus Joe, we try to make questions as simple as possible.
Do we look stupid or something?
Because it really comes down to one thing in sports. Are you good?
Intelligence isn't a word we throw around a lot on this show unless it's immediately preceded by the word low or lacking. Joe Fornball, Randy Scott, Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. So here's how this works if you've never played this before. Our producer, Evan Wilner, is going to come onto the show. He's going to host this segment. He's just going to basically present you with a question. Are you good? And the category today, Evan, is what?
Are you good enough to be your team's quarterback next year?
Okay. So you're going to be given quarterbacks who are starting for teams around the NFL right now. Are they good enough to be the starter next season? Evan, take it away.
Let's start with Jordan Love of the Green Bay Packers. Randy?
Yes, you're good enough. Oh, my gosh, you're good enough. Yeah, you've won with what Aaron Rodgers...
Randy's like, is this game a trick?
Couldn't work with... Well, it feels like I'm about to win like one or two games of pool, and then you're going to be like, hey, why don't we play for money? And then you pull out a pool cue that comes in an at-home travel case. No, Jordan Love is succeeding with the things that drove Aaron Rodgers out of town. flirting with 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, as you said, Joe. The incentives are there both financially and otherwise to get this team to the postseason. Yeah, no, Jordan Love is good.
Yeah, not a lot to add there. They've been grooming him for a while. He's had a very solid season, 30 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Even if they don't make the playoffs, this year has been a success. He's working with the youngest wide receiving unit in the NFL. You see this through. He is good enough to start for the Packers next year.
Baker Mayfield of the Bucs, good enough to be the starter next year.
That's a tough one. That's a real tough one because I feel like we've seen Mayfield, I know we've seen Mayfield in Cleveland. We've seen him in Carolina. We've seen him in L.A. We've seen him in Tampa. Mayfield strikes me as one of two options, a career backup or a placeholder for another guy who's going to come in and start. He's got plenty of weapons with him this year, and they've been good, but not great. So, no, I don't think he's good enough to be their starter next year. I think long-term they should be thinking about someone else.
I think short-term. Like, your window is what it is with Mike Evans. Your window is what it is with Chris Godwin. And my understanding is Evans might be on the trading block. Might be available, we'll say, this offseason. So maybe that answers your question, but I think what Mayfield's done as the season has gone on and got a better understanding of the offense and everything else, finally using Chris Godwin, he was largely MIA for a chunk of this season. I think he is good to be your guy next year, but if we're talking long-term, I'm with Joe.
Joe Flacco, the Browns, good enough to be the starter next year.
See, now is where it gets interesting, Randolph.
He turns 39 in a couple of weeks. No.
So much money for Watson to be on the bench behind Flacco.
Who was the guard behind Jeremy Lin in New York? That's who Deshaun Watson is. And I think that's what Joe Flacco is. I think this is... I should have come more prepared with an alliterative pun here. It's not Lin's sanity. It's you know... Joe January? Like, I don't know. But, like, I think it's enjoy it for what it is. Joe's not here for a long time. He's here for a good time, I think, is my answer. So, no is my answer.
They've got big questions that they're going to need to answer in Cleveland this offseason. If a guy can come off the couch after Thanksgiving and play like this in an offense that Watson didn't have. Watson's offense was much healthier. Watson's offense had more offensive linemen. It had Nick Chubb. And that dude couldn't do anything. Meanwhile, Flacco has stepped in with lesser artillery and done far more. Is he good enough to be their QB next year? Yeah, he is good enough to be the QB next year. Will he is the real question.
Kenny Pickett staying in that division in Pittsburgh. Is Kenny Pickett good enough to be the Steelers quarterback next year?
No, he's not. He's not. And I don't know what the answer is because they're going to be drafting in purgatory, right? I don't know that, you know, they don't make the playoffs. They draft in the high teens. Mid-teens, whatever it is. I don't even know if they've traded away their first overall pick. Or first-round pick. I doubt that. They're not the Panthers. So, I don't think he is. I know that there's talent there, obviously, with George Pickens and Deontay Johnson, Freiermuth, and everybody else. But no, the answer is no. You've seen enough.
Mason Rudolph needs to bomb out this weekend because Mason Rudolph is making Kenny Pickett look bad. All the blame was on Matt Canada, the former offensive coordinator. Like, correct. Everyone got a free pass, and then they fired Canada. Pickett still struggled. We blame the wide receivers. Then Pickett went down with an injury, and Rudolph's played well, and it's like, dude, we're out of excuses. It looks like you're the common denominator, not Canada, not the wide receiver. So, no, I don't think Kenny Pickett's good enough to be the starter next year.
Geno Smith in Seattle, good enough to be the starter next year. Randy?
Yes. Yes. The answer is not Drew Locke. I think Drew Locke is a guy that's easy to root for. I think Geno and his relationship is legit. I think it's competitive, but in a healthy way. Maybe an anti-Aaron Rodgers-Jordan Love relationship. I don't know. But no, he is absolutely good enough. And I think we've seen Jaxon Smith-Njigba just excel and take off this year. I would love to see Tyler Lockett be the old head, DK Metcalf be the absolute stud, and JSN be this ascending talent. And I think Geno deserves to be at the helm of that next year.
You use the word purgatory for like the Pittsburgh draft position. I don't know if they're going to be able to find someone better, but at some point they need a long-term plan. Last year, those numbers were incredible. They're all falling off. 69% completions down to 65. Yardage has dropped off. 30 touchdowns, 11 INTs last year, 18-9 this year.
He's been hurt. He's missed some time.
He's been hurt. He's good enough, yes, but Seattle needs to start thinking big picture.
They can still get in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're still there. They've been good.
We both say the Bears are frisky. If the Bears beat the Packers and the Seahawks win, the Seahawks are into the postseason.
Seahawks needing someone else to help them out.
True.
Unlike last year. The irony of it coming full circle.
True.
Russell Wilson might be available if they need a quarterback.
That's a good one.
You bite your tongue.
I'd like to see that reunion.
Mr. Severely Limited.
I think I know the answer, but I'll ask it anyway. Jared Goff, good enough to be the Lions quarterback next year?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're moving on from him, what are you getting that's going to be a dramatic step forward? Because we don't want, like, a very small step forward where you can say at the end of the season, well, his quarterback rating was a third of a point higher. You need someone who's dramatically better. Who's dramatically better than what he's done? I haven't seen anyone. It's going to be fascinating, though, when he loses that offensive coordinator because we know he can't play outdoors.
His home road splits are insane. Indoor-outdoor, crazy splits.
Especially bad weather. You don't want him in bad weather.
Kirk Cousins. Well, is he good enough to be the starter of the Vikings next year? He looked good on Sunday Night Football.
Yes.
Yeah, he's pretty jacked up for a guy who can't move around a whole lot due to the leg injury.
Yeah, but like, it's like immobility jacked up. It's sort of like
the bench.
Yeah, it's like prison jacked up. Like your mobility is only so limited. You're going to throw around some weights.
Kirk Cousins prison jacked up.
Can you imagine Kirk Cousins in prison? Can you imagine?
I could see him rallying all of like cell block C and they just become the nicest, most well-adjusted people ever. It's like, what the hell is going on in cell block C? Kirk Cousins is in there. I mean, he's just rallying everybody.
Cousins, the only thing he gets at the commissary is just a felt tip marker because he draws on his tattoos. Like, he doesn't get actual tattoos. He just draws them on and has to keep stenciling them in. So yes, the answer is he's good enough. Absolutely.
Glad we answered that question. Because I want to know who else is going to be in the Cousins market. He's a free agent, is he not? Contracts up.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh should be looking at him.
But he's good enough.
Atlanta
absolutely good
should
enough.
Be looking at him.
And if you're the Vikings, you're terrified because Jalen Duran's not the guy. Nick Mullins, not the guy.
Jalen Hall.
Who did I see?
Jalen Duran.
The basketball player?
Listen, Jalen Duran, the basketball player, not the guy at quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings.
Look, Doug Shula,
I think we'd all agree.
Doug Shula had a great run with the Miami Dolphins, but it's over now, all right? We're moving on from Doug Shula.
Dennis Shula. No, go ahead.
I think it's Jaren Hall. Like, I think you got both names wrong.
Sure. Probably. Let's keep the line
moving. If you're going to go in, go all the way in.
They know who we mean.
Last one, Justin Fields. Good enough to be the Bears quarterback next year. Nope.
No. It's got to be. They would have already. If he's your guy, you would have decided. If Caleb Williams is generational and you pass on generational, just resign yourself and go play in the XFL or whatever it is now. Because I know they're merging. Just get out of here. Get out of here. If Caleb Williams is generational, you don't pass on generational unless you have generational. Like, if the Bills were drafting first overall, you're not going to move on from Josh Allen. You don't move on from Patrick Mahomes. Justin Fields hasn't done enough to warrant you passing on generational.
The question is he good enough?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes. Is it the right decision?
Stupid segment.
Is a different question. But is he good enough? Yeah. Because I think this Justin Fields you've seen for the last month is sustainable. But if you want to go high ceiling in the unknown, I get it.
Randy Scott, Joe Forenball, Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. The one mistake the Bears continue to make year after year after year. That's after this from Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and the experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's rating assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
I see it as progress. You know, when you're the winning quarterback on the winning team, that's always good, right? He's been part of that. I certainly do see progress.
The thing with the Bears is they have done everything to screw this kid up from the beginning. What did you expect? You've done such a poor job of understanding whether or not he's the guy because you did so little to put him in a position where he could give you a proper evaluation moving forward.
Why wouldn't you stay where you are and take Jaden Daniels and put good pieces around him and give him excellent coaching? I would not trade 3 number 1 picks for anyone.
Nice work, Handman. What's with the Queen? You a fan? Caught like off him. Guard by the idea of coming on the air?
Well, I was still in the mode of recording something during the break. But yeah, no, big Radio Gaga Queen guy, yeah.
There we go. Who would have thought?
GTA 5.
GTA 5?
Is that where you got it from?
GTA 5? That's when for me, it gained prominence.
For me, Break Free by Queen.
Okay.
I got that from a Coke commercial.
There you go. See?
It's on my workout playlist. I'm going to go over to my shift at the dishwashing center where I stack the plates. I'm going to go over to the gym.
Got the white tank Queen. Top.
Everybody's going to be like, man, he's throwing around. He's clanging and banging. What's he listening to? And upstairs, it's like, want to break free.
That is Randy Scott. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Thank you for taking some of the time to hang out with us today. We are grinding the century. Xander Schauffele from the bunker right now. Maybe it's just us. Maybe it's just us grinding these events. I thought we had a little college basketball action today as well, which we passed on because we're going to try to stay diligent and responsible. Speaking of diligent and responsible, the Chicago Bears, they've got some decisions to make this offseason. You may have heard. Everyone's talking about it. We're trying to sort through the process here because you'll hear this time and time again, especially with the new year, right? Everybody wants to improve with their resolutions. How do we lose weight? How do we get a promotion? How do we become better family people? Whatever it may be, right? And you'll hear some guru on Instagram, it's about the process, not the result. Get the process right and the result will follow. Yeah, that's often right. The Bears, however, the problem is they can't get the process right and they sure as hell can't get the result right. Dan Graziano, our very own, wrote for ESPN.com, quote, I'm, of course, watching Chicago, too, as we all have been all season. But the way the Bears have played down the stretch has a lot of people around the league starting to think head coach Matt Eberflus might end up staying. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for us as well, does a hell of a job. She had a piece recently on the Bears situation. Quote, after the NFL Combine in March, let me repeat that, after the NFL Combine in March, the Bears should have a clear idea on the direction of their quarterback room. Within this context, it's notable that the Panthers deal was made on March 10th. That's the Panthers deal from last year when they were wheeling and dealing to give up the number one pick so the Panthers could go up and get Bryce Young. What do you make of this? Do you think the Bears, I'm going to start very general here, present the image of an operation that is going to go about this decision on Justin Fields and Matt Eberflus the right way? Also, no. Are you okay? You look like you're choking a little.
No,
bit.
I was thinking about it, and I was, I was blocking down a burp there. I don't think they have given you. If you're a Bears fan, they've given you no confidence that they will handle this the right way, however broadly or narrowly you want to define that.
Like, if you're a Bears fan, you're like, we're going to screw this up.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't have any faith because, I mean, it was Evan who brought up the sort of chain of custody with regard to this number one pick, right? Or a first-round pick or a quarterback pick or whatever it is. He said John Fox drafted Mitch Trubisky, and then he's out, and then in comes not Eberflus,
Matt
but
Nagy.
Nagy comes in and has to inherit Trubisky and then says, no, I'll fix it. I'll draft Justin Fields. And then Eberflus comes in and says, well, I didn't draft Justin Fields, but I can make him work in my system. I think we've seen that Fields can work in the system. I think having a DJ Moore, someone that neither Trubisky nor Fields in his early days had, I think that certainly helped. I don't trust the front office to do this the right way, to answer your question. However, I think the opponent this week factors into this a lot more than we're we're giving it credit. I think the fact that this is a rivalry game, one of very few in the NFL, there are some teams who contrive it, some you know, conferences, some divisions who contrive it, but I think there are only a handful. I think Pats Jets is one. I think Saints Falcons is probably the most bitter. You know, Cowboys and Commanders has fallen off. But this one still matters, and I think if Fields does what he did last week in that win over the Falcons, if he does it this week, I don't think an extension is off the table.
I find that ridiculous, and not the point you're making. The fact that that point could be true.
Yeah,
could
it
be
is.
True. We're saying that it's going to come down to this game. We have seen Justin Fields in 39 games. He's made 37 starts. We've got a world of statistical analysis, a world of tape. Some of it is very unfair to him because he's behind a bad offensive line early in his career with no weapons. And then there's the stuff that's more recent, more successful because he's had a better supporting cast. But the idea that this game will determine it. You go out there and you look good against the Packers and you're the guy, or you go out there and you stumble against the Packers in week 18 of year three and we're moving on. That is an indictment of the organization to be in that situation. You got a big body of work here. One game does not an evaluation make, especially this game.
No, it doesn't.
It's crazy
it
to doesn't. Me, but you're not the only person who suggested that. Like, it's crazy to me that that's where they could be. Their process is so flawed. And then it comes down to this. Is it a package deal? If Fields is back, is Eberflus back? And vice versa. If Eberflus is back, is Fields back? Or do you risk doing the same boneheaded thing you've done for the better part of a decade, which is change one but not the other? So the guy, so for example, keep Fields, get rid of Eberflus, and then give the new head coach a quarterback he might not want.
I think you have more confidence if you're a Bears fan in Eberflus than you do in Fields.
Wow, really?
Because what's coincided with this Fields ascension is that the Bears are playing a top six defense. Like, the Bears have defensively turned into one of the best units in football. And Fields doesn't deserve credit for that. Eberflus does. The DC deserves that credit. So I don't think like there's a total lack of competence in Chicago. Far, far from it. I think defensively they're as good as they've been since the Jim Miller year. That includes Sexy Rexy and dragging that team to the Super Bowl.
The like, Grossman era.
Yeah, the Grossman era.
Just the most remarkable Super Bowl run of all. Like, you talk, people talk Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer because they won. Like, you watch Grossman make his way to the. Everyone was like, this is the greatest defense of all time.
He was dealing. Rex Grossman was dealing. Back in the day, throwing to was Martellus Bennett on that team?
Devin Hester was one of their wide receivers.
Yes, he was.
Hester was a wide receiver, and he's a Hall of Fame return man.
My kids know that Devin Hester was nice as a kick returner. There's a whole like YouTube.
Ask Mike Shanahan. Anyone remember that game when he kicked to him twice at the end of the game, and Hester took both of them back to beat the Broncos? That game was incredible. That's a gambler's memory right there. Gambler's memory, because there's no way the Bears come back to win this, and they're like, he's kicking the Hester. Hester returns it for a touchdown, and then they did it again a few minutes later in the game.
Fields is 0-5 against the Packers. Matt Eberflus is 0-3 against the Packers.
Oh my God.
The Bears have lost 9 straight to the Packers. They've lost 14 of 15. That's what I mean by this rivalry is still significant, very much so. They could ruin the Packers' postseason pursuits while also inspiring confidence in the tandem and keeping the core together of Eberflus and Justin Fields and DJ Moore, to be honest. So I think you build capital by trading down. You obviously get a number one pick for trading your number one pick. Maybe you get two.
Are you trading to the AFC for that pick? Are you like ruling out the NFC in the Caleb Williams?
Ideally, yes.
Like, you can't possibly let that guy in the conference,
oh
right?
Oh, my God.
Like, if he's generational and you leave him in the conference and he just goes on to lead some team to success like year after year after year, and like that's the obstacle in the NFC. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
Okay, keep in mind, you mentioned package deal, and I want to put this out there for Caleb Williams and any team and any fan base who might be excited about drafting him. What I have heard out of SC is Caleb Williams is a package deal with Cliff Kingsbury. Not that Cliff Kingsbury comes in and becomes...
As a head coach?
Not a head coach.
Okay.
Definitively
so.
I have
important.
To say that with an exclamation point.
Yeah.
But Cliff Kingsbury has done a lot of great work with Caleb Williams
yes.
on an individual level in his post-Arizona Cardinals coaching career. And I believe his entree back to the NFL will be on the strength of Caleb Williams and where he's drafted.
Very interesting. So he is back from Thailand after all, because he went on that vacation and...
And got his mind right? Yeah, got
incredible
away from
that
Arizona?
He leaked that to the press. Like, I'm just going to Thailand, one-way ticket. I was like, that's an all-time flex right there.
Got the money to do it?
I had like
Why
a
not?
One-way ticket to Thailand.
Yeah.
But probably, you know. it wouldn't be the same version as his version, but that's what
we'd check in. We'd bring a TVU. We'd go over there.
TVU.
Yeah, yeah. Pizza
what time
money?
Is it? I'm on with Randy and Gary to talk about what? Carlin versus Joe, presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. The Bears, not the only ones, facing a major decision this offseason. That's coming up next. ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Have you along for the ride with us today? It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, presented by our friends at Progressive Insurance. He's Randy Scott. I'm Joe Fortenball. The College Football National Championship, I can't wait! 4 days away, Houston, Texas, Monday, January 8th, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Radio. But we here at ESPN Radio, we launch the pregame at 6:30 p.m. So we've got you covered. Get everything you need to get done and buckle in for what's probably about 9 hours of coverage, because that game ain't going to be a short one. We're going to go through it all with that game.
That UW Sugar Bowl game, what, second half kicked off like 11 Eastern time, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be a late night, but it's going to be worth it. I think it's going to be another close game. Wouldn't be surprised if it comes down to the last possession, just like both games in
the
playoff. Used
to love that as a kid. The national championship in football and basketball would go way too late.
Yeah.
Parents would think I'm asleep. I had a little like one of those cube TVs, like, you know, like now they're flat screens.
Yeah.
This was the one that went all the way back.
It was
500 pounds for 13 inches, all that. And I'd be in there. I would put T-shirts down at the crack at the bottom of the door so they couldn't see the light coming
through.
There you
go.
So I could
veteran
stay
move.
Up and watch like Eric Montross and UNC or whoever
the
it may
four.
Be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of the things that stands out. All right, your boys, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Let's go.
Lots to get to. Still fighting late in the season. Aiden O'Connell at quarterback. Very interesting decisions they need to make. Antonio Pierce has stepped in as the interim for Josh McDaniels. Mm-hmm. Team's played well. They've responded well. I mean, you can't expect a whole lot more given what they looked like at the beginning of the season. So now the question is going to turn to what Mark Davis will do in the offseason. Do you give Antonio Pierce the job? Do you take away the interim tag? Or do you do what you did a couple years ago, like with Rich Bisaccia, who was really good as an interim? You didn't give him the job. You went with Josh McDaniels. Let's go to Davante Adams, Las Vegas Raiders wide receiver, on what he thinks should happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously who I wanted. That's my vote, and I've been vocal about that. And that's that's basically how the whole locker room feels, and you know, with good reason. I mean, he's come in and done a great job, and you know, he's continued to win us over. It's not just the comfortable thing. I think having AP here will be it'll be good for this organization. He kind of embodies what it means to be a Raider, and that mentality, that swag, and you know, all the things that he endorses is the things that I believe in. So. It's easy for a guy like me, especially having dealt with him a little bit this year now and gotten to know him and see his evolution, you know, in front of the team and, you know, all those things, all the different fields of being a head coach. So definitely rooting for him.
That's Davante Adams, Raiders head coach, giving the endorsement to Antonio Pierce. Equally as successful and rich, Evan Cohen of The Morning Show here came out and had this to say about Mark Davis and whether or not he should be listening to the players when it comes to this decision.
If I'm Mark Davis and I own that team, the player's input is meaningless to me. I have to be honest. You were not successful this year. You weren't successful for Josh McDaniels, and you weren't that successful for Antonio Pierce. You were just more successful for Antonio Pierce than you were for Josh McDaniels. So, like, if I'm going to make that decision, it can't be because the players want him. They're a losing team. They were not a winning team. This idea when players are out there campaigning for the interim coach, in many ways it's because the interim coach is not the previous coach. And it's more of an anti than a pro. In this case, I absolutely think they want this guy. They absolutely want this guy. Mark Davis should make the decision that Antonio Pierce is the guy, but not because Devontae Adams told me that.
Interesting. You're the resident Raider fan around these parts, Randy Scott. What do you think about the situation?
I think it's Antonio Pierce's job, and I think Rich Bisaccia is why. A couple seasons ago, they made the move away from John Gruden. They had to during the regular season. Bisaccia steps in and galvanizes that locker room, leads them to their first playoff berth since 2016. Brandon Staley had a little something to do with that on the season finale. You remember that?
what a game that was.
That overtime game, it was amazing. But they rallied around Bisaccia, and they had the candidate. They had the guy in-house, and they went away from it. They went, you know, big name hunting. That is a Davis family hallmark. That is one of the very few ways that Mark is like Al, in my opinion. And it backfired spectacularly, and that has more to do with Josh McDaniels than it does necessarily with the man that he replaced. But they just so very recently went through this very thing, and it went so spectacularly horribly that it drove away talent. It drove away Darren Waller. It drove away Derek Carr. Like, it just... some questions that could have been answered this season, some talent is playing in different uniforms because of that decision. So don't drive away more talent. I was fascinated listening to that Devontae Adams sound. That was the first I'd heard it. That to me sounded like a guy who's very much on the fence about his own Raiders future. So in a way, you do have to re-recruit the talent that you have on your roster.
Yeah.
And that talent is telling you what it would take to keep them. And that's keep Antonio Pierce. So I would argue, you know, the cautionary tale is Freddie Kitchens there in Cleveland, right? Kitchens was the interim tag, and hey, he's a guy's guy, a player's coach. They love him. They want to keep him around, and they flamed out horribly in his first year as the man. So I get what the cautionary tale is, but for this franchise, having just gone through it, take the less expensive option as well. Like, do the smart business thing in addition to what your talent's telling you, what your people, you know, are telling you, and stick with AP. He's the guy.
Here's a question. Do we have any examples offhand of interims that turned out to be really good or are currently active in the NFL? Does anything come to mind?
NFL's hard. Dabo Sweeney comes to mind on a college level. But,
oh, thank you. But, does anyone have a hockey example, for example, that we might be able to use? Perhaps a hockey example, maybe something in Indian High Line?
NFL example.
Like, nothing comes
great question,
to mind,
man.
But we're all being put on the spot. Like, you look around the league right now, these guys were hired at the start of the season, and that's that. Like, who was an interim that earned it and then stuck with it? Like, Todd Bowles took over for Arians. I'm just going through some of these divisions. I nothing comes to mind. We're probably missing a very obvious one. There's probably some guy driving right now that is like, this idiotic show is missing, insert Bill Walsh, which, not Bill Walsh, but still. Bill
Jeff
Walsh.
Fisher.
Jeff Fisher was an interim.
With the Oilers. Jeff Fisher with the Oilers.
So we got a recent one. We got a post-Roger Staubach.
But he went 2-14. He went 2-14 in a year. So they were already... Fisher went 1-5 when he came in 94.
Jason Garrett with the Cowboys replaced Wade Phillips. He did pretty well for a number of years.
He did pretty well. Yeah, you got to give him credit. I know some people, Garrett was okay.
Wayne Fonts with the Lions. Came in as an interim coach. Took him to the playoffs four times.
You got anything this century?
Are you looking this up in an almanac? I'm on
he's
Google.
Got some,
I'm on
he's
Google
got
like as well. Jerry Glanville with the Houston Oilers.
You got a Bleacher Report top 25 over there? What do
Aaron,
you got? What are you working with?
Cromer? I probably should. Yardbarker.com.
Yardbarker.com.
How about, I don't know, is Christine still around? How about Marv Levy? Anybody heard of Marv Levy? Leslie
Frazier. Is that really like a success story?
Les Frazier where? In Minnesota?
In Minnesota, I think.
He's okay there. They had a decent run. They had some decent years under Les.
Schottenheimer with the Browns.
Good God, we don't have anything from this century.
Les Frazier, I know, is
this century.
Bisaccia is the only interim coach from this decade.
Yeah, but who got
from this century to take his team to the playoffs in the year that he was the interim head coach?
But I'm saying,
he's
like,
the only
an
one.
Interim that got the job and then went on to be a good head coach. We don't even need great. Anybody.
Dan Campbell was an interim with the Dolphins and went on to be a good head coach. He's just with a different team.
I don't know. I don't think Antonio Pierce should get it based on this. This alone.
Well, we're judging against other teams, though, and other
Someone
people.
Needs to break the mold, am I right?
Antonio Pierce is the guy. The player input matters. So I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying Evan Cohen's wrong by that the player input doesn't matter.
He's got the pulse of the locker room, which is extremely important. You got to have the respect to these guys. You got to understand the current guys. Randy Scott, always a pleasure, my friend.
This is fun, buddy.
I'm Joe Fornball. Carlin versus Joe. Big boys back tomorrow. Set the bar low. That's what I would say. Set the bar low.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin versus Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin versus Joe podcast.